Welcome to the Hot Lava Podcast. Kevin Acey, Padres beat writer. I'm here with my boss, Jay Posner, sports editor of the Union Tribune.
If all you know about Jay is the podcast, and all you do is listen to the podcast, you think his gardeners are there 24 hours a day. It's absolutely amazing. No noise ordinance in your neighborhood, Jay.
It's the most incredible thing is he only comes every 2 weeks, and he has this perfect way of arriving. It doesn't matter what time we do this show. If we do it at 10, it's here at 10. If we do it at noon, we do it at noon. He's here at noon. We probably did a show at 7, he would show up at 7. And the only thing missing is normally when I get on a call or get into a meeting, there's usually a jet from Miramar that flies overhead as well to add to it. So I apologize for that. It literally, the guy was walking like toward the window where I am as soon as the opening music started.
So. Yeah, we were having a conversation beforehand, and it was quiet as could be. Anyway, yeah. Padres Rockies for four because, well, you may remember, it seems like an awful long time ago, but the season started late, and the Rockies were supposed to be here for two games, the back end of a six-game homestand that was supposed to start the season. Those games have to be made up. And what's going to happen is twice this year when the Rockies visit, they're going to play a doubleheader. And that one of those is tomorrow. And it's a day-night doubleheader. So that'll be a nice long day at Petco. Good thing that I enjoy my job because that's going to be a long day there. But starting tonight, got Joe Musgrove on the mound against Chad Kuhl. We got tomorrow, we've got, Clevinger and Gore are going. Mike Clevinger, Mackenzie Gore, not the Rockies pitchers. Kyle Freeland is going. And Ryan, is it Feltzer that is this pitching? Ryan Feltzer against Clevinger, Freeland against Gore. And then Germán Márquez, who I only think should win the Cy Young every year because when he's pitching against the Padres recently, he's incredible. But he's having a terrible year this year. Germán Márquez and Nick Martinez. What's interesting about that, Jay, is the Padres are using a 7-man rotation right now.
I know it's. I keep waiting to see if they can extend it even more, and if we can have like the first 8-man rotation in baseball. But you know, I guess it makes sense. I kind of thought that they would come back with Snell on Sunday, but I guess if you do that, at some point it's going to catch up to you.
Yep.
where both Gore and Clevinger are going to be scheduled to pitch.
That was it. Yes.
On the same day. Although if it is a 6-man rotation, you know, one of them could be pitching on 5 days rest and one of them could, oh my God.
That's what would have happened is either Gore or Clevinger.
Pitch on 4 days rest.
Well, Gore or Clevinger was going to have to pitch on 4 days rest. And here's the deal with that is, oh, okay, well, that's fine. Except that, you know, Clevinger has spent two stints on the IL and he's coming back from Tommy John surgery and Mackenzie Gore is going to have an innings limit. So that's why they're going with the 7-man for now. Plus, this starts 18 games in 17 days.
Correct. That's correct. And I think it's also like 37 games in 38 days between now and the All-Star break. And the All-Star break comes after 94 games this year. It's not exactly the first half, second half. It's worse than usual. You know, when it comes to that. So it's going to be a busy time now up until the break. So I understand how they're doing this. And, you know, they also have Adrian Morejon back.
With Adrian Morejon back, if you get up Michelle Baez to like two or three innings, which you're not, but you could just do like all starters. That you would just have all starters and Taylor Rogers as your pitching staff. Maybe get Craig Stammen up for three innings. And then just, you know, that's all you do. But, they're not that far from that right now. But yeah, this is what it'll be for. They're not going to do a 7-man rotation again, but they will. So Nick Martinez probably go back into the long role after this, and then they'll go. Though at some point, and I think it's too early, so I'm almost hesitant to bring it up, but at some point, you got to start looking at Blake Snell. And is he going to pitch better? Because if Nick Martinez keeps giving you a good quality 5 and 6 innings, you know, at some point, if you're having to earn your way into this rotation, it can't just be because of Blake Snell's potential that he stays in this rotation. But I mean to feed the piranhas because that's probably a little early, but I have talked to people and it's not unfathomable that at some point they have to go, hey, Blake, pitch better.
I was just telling someone that the other day that, you know, or yesterday, in fact, the 6-man rotation right now, you know, works fine. But the guy that you would want to take out of the rotation right now, it's really Gore, or not Gore. You don't want to take Gore out, except for when you get to the innings limit situation. But Snell and Clevinger are really the two guys at this point. And Clevinger's pitched pretty well. He's just been, you know, it's sort of been in and out because of the health issue. And it took him so many pitches the other night to get through those three innings. But after the home run, he only gave up the one run. So he's been okay. But yeah, I mean, at some point, Snell's going to have to pitch more like the guy we saw at the end of last year and less like the guy that we've seen the other times. At least I was happy that today, and people who aren't watching aren't going to see this, but this week, that at least we didn't run a picture of Blake Snell doing this, because he holds his head in his hands, you know, all the time between pitches, and photographers seem to love that shot. I was glad that we avoided
it. It's a great shot. It's him adjusting his hat, really. That's just
right.
But it looks like he's saying, "I suck," or something. You know, that's
and now, I mean, the one thing about pitching, one of the reasons I thought he might come back on Sunday is because it would allow him to pitch at home, where he had much more success, at least last year, than he did on the road. This will mean he pitches the first game at Wrigley Field on Monday night. What that means or what he's done there or anything, I don't know. And I'm not sure it really matters, but that was the only reason why I thought that Snell might pitch Sunday, was because it would put him at Petco. But this, look, as long as the Padres keep pitching like they're pitching, you know, with the exception of Monday night's game, they're going to be in every game. And, you know, they're not going to win every game, but they're going to have a chance to win almost every night. And the odds are most of the time they're going to come up with enough offense. And they certainly did in these last couple of games we saw against the Mets. But that's what this team is right now. And we've talked about it almost all year. The starting pitching is what's going to carry this team. And as long as they keep pitching well, and there aren't too many signs that they're not going to, then they should be in pretty good shape, you know, going through the season. And Jeff's one more thing. Jeff wrote today about, you know, and you've written about it before, the bullpen is the beneficiary of this. You know, they threw them so many innings last year, top two in baseball, I think it was. This year, they're in the bottom part of the league. And that should help going forward as we get into the summer and maybe guys get a little tired, have a little dead arm, that they'll still have that, you know, that situation. And you look at the bullpen, they've got guys coming back. You know, Morejon, obviously the first one to come back. So from a pitching standpoint, it seems like they have some pretty good depth right now.
Yeah. If one of the guys, Jose Castillo, Michel Baez, is effective, well, that's a huge bump. Both of them have the chance to be really effective.
Sure.
Drew Pomeranz, as long as he's healthy, which is the only question, when he's been healthy, he's incredible. He's one of the best relievers in the league. Now, all you're going to ask from him this season is half a season. No, you got to feel pretty good about that. Pierce Johnson has been pitching really well, or was pitching really well, and you're going to expect him back in the second half. And it's like, no, not all those guys are going to come back and be fantastic, but that's some pretty good options to choose from. And so, yes, they are in fantastic shape as far as their pitching goes. And at some point, look, Blake Snell is so incredibly talented. You're just not going to give up on him just yet. It's just that you have so much pitching. At some point, these guys' words about, like, doing whatever it takes to help the team win, I don't care who you are. If all seven of them were pitching at a Cy Young level, they are not going to have a seven-man rotation. Some of these guys are going to have to start pitching out of the bullpen.
Right, right.
And so.
Exactly. And it takes you to the other side of the ball, so to speak, which is the offense. And, you know, certain guys are coming around now. Certain guys are going the wrong way. Manny Machado, you know, He might go the wrong way for three nights, four nights, whatever it is, and then he comes up with some big hits like he did against the Mets. I mean, I thought that ball he hit to dead center the other night might just put a hole in the wall. You know, it wasn't hit quite far enough to get out, but just slammed into the wall and continues to, you know, to do what he's done all year long. Jake Cronenworth, you know, you had written that he was showing signs of coming out of it. He said he was coming out of it, and he's been great over the past week or so. Trent Grisham shows some signs of, you know, of coming out. Eric Hosmer's going the wrong way. I think he's had three extra base hits in the last I don't know, 3 weeks, 4 weeks, something like that. You know, his overall numbers look very good. He got the hot start. The question is, where does he level off? And at this point, we don't know. He was really good, and lately he hasn't been really good. So we'll see, you know, we'll see what happens. The other infield position minus Tatis is, it's probably mostly going to be an offensive black hole most of the time. Although the other night, Kim and Alcantara were on base a couple times, got a couple hits. And so that it's sort of a bonus. The defense is good. And, you know, it's like you keep having to remind myself they need help offensively. Fernando Tatis is coming back. He's their best offensive player. He's one of the best offensive players in baseball. And assuming, big word, assuming that all goes well with his rehab and he's still coming along and he's going to play, like we've talked about before, I don't expect to see him before. To me, it's a bonus if he's back before the All-Star break. But that still leaves, you know, 2.5 months before the playoffs. And, yeah, you'd like to see a little more production in the outfield, but are you going to trade some pitching to do that? Do you want AJ Preller trading for hitters? You know, those are a couple big questions right there.
Their outfielders are collectively not the worst, but they're close enough in terms of OPS, basically every offensive number. Certainly yeah. The lack of power is terribly troubling. You know, Jurickson Profar is doing everything you could possibly ask of Jurickson Profar. He is not the problem. Like, remember, that's what I was writing about. That's what everyone was talking about, was how left field was going to be a problem. Jurickson right. Profar is not. And if he can even hit close to this level for the rest of the season, that is absolutely amazing. That what was expected versus what Jurickson Profar has become, like finally reaching what, you know, close to what he was supposed to be. But your power numbers out of right field, Will Myers got to get healthy, and then he's got to hit. And we haven't got there. He maybe was getting close to it, and then he got hurt. So, yeah, that is a I still say that they're going to try to get someone there, but I've tried to word it when I've written about it as is not going to, you know, they're not going out to get Juan Soto. It's just not going to happen.
Well, and that becomes the issue is then you know, who are you getting?
What are you giving up?
You know, are you getting Ryan Ludwig 2.0 or, you know, Adam Frazier, or these guys that we've been through before that we've seen come here and not really accomplish anything? You know, Luke, I didn't mention Luke Voit is a guy who seems to be coming around as well. And that's a guy that, you know, maybe can add some more pop when you talk about needing power. You know, the catching position hasn't been great offensively. Alfaro's been okay. Nola is still a disappointment. You know, at least offensively, a rather big disappointment, I guess. You would say now that I see that his OPS is 550. You would like to see more offense, but it's kind of a big thing. I mean, what are you choosing between? And I'm sure we're going to talk about this for 2 months or, you know, almost 2 months before the trade deadline. How much pitching are you willing to give up to get a hitter that – how much is that hitter going to add to your lineup, especially once Tatis is back? And you know that you're already going to get him. And my feeling is I saw enough of Vince Velasquez and Jake Arrieta and a worn out bullpen last year that I'm willing to put up with the outfield that they have right now. Hope that Trent Grisham comes around. Hope that Profar stays, you know, where he is. Hope that a combination of Myers and Azokar and Mazzara can produce enough in right field. But man, giving up pitching right now, I just, why would you do that?
Yeah, there is an abundance of relievers, but which relievers? Like, who are you getting rid of? What, there could be an abundance of relievers. They don't have an abundance right now, but there could be, but, and which starters and which ones are going to bring anything? I mean, it really, these trades are getting possible. I just don't know which one is right. And I also don't know who's out there that, yes, on the day of the trade, people are going to be, yeah, they did something right on. I don't know which guy is worth it.
Well, which one of those relievers are you get or is worth anything? You know, well, if you want to get rid of a reliever, it's probably because he's not doing very well.
Well, you're packaging. So, you're not getting. You're not sending one of these relievers away for the kind of player you're talking about.
Well, of course.
About.
But so then, are you trading Robert Hassel for one of those guys?
Right. That and that's what teams that are willing to trade with you now are interested in. Right. Is prospects. So especially this time of year, and the Padres probably have some. I mean, look at Estiary Ruiz, right?
Uh-huh.
He's killing it. He could be up here soon if like Mazzara doesn't produce, or you know Grisham, you know, weren't getting hot. But he also could be traded because you know they're that could be one of their people that they could actually get something for.
I guess I have so little trust right now in the acquisition of a bat that I would almost rather see Ruiz, see what Ruiz can do, and you know CJ Abrams.
And then you're not giving up something, right?
Right, and I don't feel like I'm giving up something to get another guy that's not going to do anything.
Look, if CJ Abrams can hit, they'll find a spot for him. They're going to run into something there eventually because they really do believe that he's an infielder. They moved him to the outfield for one game, if you notice. I think it was only one. And then he's been back in the infield. That doesn't mean they've given up on that, but he's got to be able to hit. He's got to be able to hit the breaking ball. It's not happening now. So it would be Ruiz probably at this point to see what he can do because he's been tearing it up everywhere. But I'm with you. I don't really know. Well, it seems like they have an abundance. I don't really know what any of it gets them. So in terms of, and especially you, Jay, everything you're saying about not having the faith, about trading for a bat, history backs you up. And recent history, we're not holding Kevin Towers or Jed Hoyer against A.J. Preller. We're talking about recent history.
Yeah, no, absolutely. I mean, I bring up Ludwig just because it's such an easy name that it comes to mind. That's not on A.J. Preller that they traded for Ludwig. But I just think I would rather keep my pitching in order and not have to do too much. And then also, I'm not sure what you're, you know, again, like you said, you're trading prospects. There aren't that many guys on the farm that are, you know, sort of ready made to come in here and fill holes. But I don't necessarily want to start trading away a pitcher, even a starting pitcher. Because if you're even if you trade in one of those guys who's going to be a free agent at the end of this season, what are you getting in return for that? You know,
no,
another guy who's going to be a free agent,
right?
So I just think it's
starting.
We've talked before. It's easy to say, got to get help, but at what cost is the help? And are you better off where you are now? You know, with this team that is 35 and 22 and playing pretty well and, you know, still has maybe the best player in the league coming back in a month or so.
Fathom this because it's unfathomable. Trading for Fernando Tatis Jr. in the middle of a season. It's just impossible to do. You can't do it. This talk about Juan Soto. Who was getting Juan Soto? What were you giving up for Juan Soto? And to get Fernando Tatis Jr., I think we all sort of forget about it. I think we all forget about how incredible that is that they are going to add this player to their roster. So,
yeah, I mean, I was watching the game the other night and I was at the one game I went to, they were up 11-0, like in the fifth inning, and they're running around and hitting the ball all over the place. And I thought, wow, this is pretty exciting. And the most exciting player isn't even here. I mean, he's here, but he's not playing. He shows up on videos on the scoreboard and he shows up in the dugout and that sort of thing. But it is, as you said, a huge bonus to be able to all of a sudden come to the middle of the season or just past the middle of the season and say, hey, look at this guy we got coming back over here. So
that changes a lot of things. Like, you know, Fernando said over the weekend, like he's looking forward to playing for Melvin. You know, they could put their heads together, he said. And like, you know, Melvin would like to do a little bit more on the bases. First off, sometimes there's not a lot of runners. So, you know, sometimes other teams know that they only have certain guys that can run. But you get Fernando Tatis Jr. out there, it changes a lot of the dynamic of this team that I'm interested to see how they do it. I'm interested to see where do they bat him if you know, Profar's holding down one and Cronenworth. And now, wow, well, is Tatis your cleanup hitter? Getting far down the road.
No.
You're putting Machado there?
No, I'm putting Tatis and Machado 2-3. You know how I feel. You know how I feel about that. I want those guys. I'm not giving up an. I'm not giving up an at bat of those two guys for Jake Cronenworth. I'm just not. And I, even Cronenworth's not going to go, you know, 7 for 17 every 3 days or whatever. But I am hitting Tatis and Machado in whatever order you want. I'm hitting them.
Not four. Four is too low.
To me, four is too low.
Okay.
This is 2022.
I was just going to say, that is the thinking. I got you. Okay. Also, we may not have to worry as big a, big Jurickson Profar guy. We might not have to worry about him, you know, hitting 350 for the next month. So we'll see what happens when it comes around.
Yeah. I mean, just have a guy in the leadoff spot who gets on base.
And the point here being adding another guy gives you the length that they haven't had. There have been way too many Austin Hedges, Carlos Asuaje type holes at the bottom of this lineup when you have a DH. And that was because they didn't have Fernando Tatis. Trent Grisham wasn't hitting. Jake Cronenworth wasn't hitting. Lately, Eric Hosmer hasn't been hitting. You know, don't be surprised if one of the guys they get, they can play at first base a little bit. Luke Voit played there very well. But remember this about Luke Voit. This guy, since 2019, hits a homer, or between 2019 and 21, I'm not sure where he's at now. Some guys have probably passed him. No one hit homers more frequently than Luke Voit from 2019 to 21. Right. It was like a home run every 9.9 at-bats. Well, a lot less at-bats because he gets hurt a lot. So they're trying to keep him healthy. They love that he's responded to the DH position. So Eric Hosmer's taken 3 days off in like the last 10 days. Yeah. Eric Hosmer's in gassed.
And you have Cronenworth. You have Cronenworth when Tatis comes back, especially. You have Cronenworth to play first base, and that's where you can get Kim to keep him, you know, still around and keep him fresh and get him some at-bats and that sort of thing. And obviously that doesn't hurt your defense at all. But, I mean, you talk about lengthening the lineup. The other night I realized that, you know, Nomar Mazara was hitting fifth and Jorge Alfaro was hitting sixth. And, meanwhile, two nights in a row they beat the Mets by a combined score of 20-2.
That is incredible. Not that they beat the Mets, that it was 7-0 and 13-2.
Yeah. And look, you know, we say it all the time. They could come out this weekend and they could lose 3 out of 4 to the Rockies and panic could, you know, envelop the streets of San Diego again. But for right now, based on what they've, you know, they're in a stretch now. They beat the Brewers 3 in a row. They beat the Mets 2 out of 3. You know, we're picking things here and picking things there, but things are going pretty well, I guess you'd have to say right now.
Hey, do you know that in doubleheaders, I mean, it makes everything tricky. They could easily lose 3 or 4 here. I think they'd be fortunate to go away with a split. Not fortunate. I think that normally when the Rockies are coming here, you and I are saying, you know what? This is the kind of team you take 3 or 4 from. Doubleheaders are splits. Half the time, doubleheaders are splits. That just doesn't matter. You have the best team in the league and the worst team in the league. You play 2 games in a day. Half the time, it's a split. So what happens tonight and what happens Sunday?
Well, and the good thing for the Padres tonight is they have Joe Musgrove pitching, which helps not only the fact that they win the game almost every time he pitches, but also that he gives them length. And so they need a rested bullpen going into tomorrow, because you're probably not getting more than 4 or 5 innings out of Clevinger. You're not getting usually not getting more than 6 innings out of Gore. You don't have Martinez to piggyback. And then you have Martinez actually pitching on Sunday. So they're going to need some length out of the bullpen. And so this is a good night for Musgrove to have one of his typical games and go 7 innings and give some guys some rest.
And so here's the interesting thing. And Joe, look, it's further along in the season. He did not have that problem after he threw the complete game last year in Anaheim in September. But after last year's no-hitter on April 9th, it took him 3 or 4 starts to get back to feeling himself. Now, the Padres are leaning into this whole 6-man and now 7-man rotation, but let's just call it a 6-man. It's a 7 because of the doubleheader. And so Joe had an extra day off. Last year, he was still going every 5 days.
Right,
but still, he threw a career-high 114 pitches. You had the adrenaline of it. He really wanted that no-hitter. And so, you know, we'll see how he responds tonight. At some point, Joe Musgrove is going to go out there and not throw at least 6 innings and give up 2 or fewer earned runs. That's just unreal what he's doing right now.
Right. Right. I mean, and you would hope it's not tonight with what's coming up, but you're right. I mean, it's like you knew Taylor Rogers wasn't going to save every game that he got called on to save, and he didn't. So, you know, that every pitcher gets hit. It's just a question of how often, basically. And for the Padres, for the sake of the Padres right now, they have had a lot of guys that have not gotten hit very often, at least, especially in their rotation. I mean, Manaea was fantastic the other night, you know, pitching against a really good team. And yeah, they got a big lead, which helps, but he was really good early when it wasn't a big lead.
And you know what? You got to point it out. I didn't for my first edition story, and I felt badly. And so then I made sure that I did that Pete Alonso and Starling Marte were out. Right. And it's like, I absolutely should do that because that changes the Mets for sure, right? Pete Alonso against Sean Manaea, who is pitching really well, but he also has a tendency. Good hitters hit a ball a long way against him sometimes. So that's big. But you know what else I remember is that is every other writer when they play the Padres and beat them saying they didn't have Fernando Tatis Jr.? I mean, it's, right. You know.
No, I know exactly what you – I knew where you were going with that, and I know exactly what you mean, that that's what it's come to. So, well, it seems like we've come full circle with Tatis, so we will we'll call it here a weekend. We'll wish everyone a safe weekend. Wish you safe travels to Chicago, and we will talk to you from Wrigleyville on Monday.
That is where I'll be. Thanks, everybody.